Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
Lord, I thank you and I honor you. I give you praise. You're good, you're kind, you're merciful. Even when we're not. Thank you, God, for not being like us, but being better than us, bigger than us, kinder than us, more gracious than us. Thank you for giving us a blueprint that is perfect, that is stellar, God, that is not tainted, that is not fickle. Thank you, God, for all of that. And then give us the strength by the power of your Holy Spirit to be like you. Lord, allow us tonight, God, as we go into the Word, as we dig into your treasure and your treasury, God, allow us to mine the gold from the text so that we may be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Then, God, finally give us the strength to walk it out so that we're not just hearers of the Word, but doers so we don't deceive ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you got those notebooks? We are in our Advent series. When we are preparing for arrival, this is our second message in that series, and I'm going to be dealing with boldness again. Now, I told all of you guys there was four things that we would deal with over the 4 weeks. We're talking about being bold, being focused, being humble, and being willing. Again, being bold, being focused, being humble, and being willing. In that regard, today, I'm going to go back into boldness again, and I'm going to talk about, you can head your papers, because you should have Be Bold for this past Sunday, but I want you to head your papers for tonight, three predecessors to spiritual boldness. Three predecessors to spiritual boldness. One more time, three predecessors to spiritual boldness. Go ahead and turn to Matthew 3. Matthew 3 is where we were on Sunday, and it reads as follows. Are y'all ready? It don't seem like y'all ready. I don't hear no pages flipping. I don't hear nothing. I was moving too fast. Oh, predecessors? You still working the word predecessor out? Veronica was like, look, there's a lot of letters in that word. And I was still around the second S. Give me a moment. All right, predecessors. Three predecessors to spiritual boldness. Matthew 3, verse 1. Now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now, verse 4, John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Verse 5, then Jerusalem was going out to him and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sin. From that text on Sunday, we extrapolated three things that we must have. Number one is we must have the boldness to say. So it's our boldness to communicate what needs to be said regardless. Now, this does not mean that you get to say it how you feel it. You got to see how quiet it got. You got to have boldness to say it, but you don't get to, you know, because some of y'all, it ain't going to come out right. Communication requires three things. Not one of three, not two of three, all three of these things. Communication requires three things. I got to say the right thing, the right way, at the right time. Right thing, right way, right time. Right thing, right way, right time. I don't get to pick one. If I'm saying the right thing, but I'm not saying it the right way, then you're not communicating. If I'm saying the right thing, the right way, but it's the wrong time, I'm also not communicating. Right? You have to take personal responsibility for the things that come out of your mouth. I got Bible for that. You will be judged for every idle word that you speak. Right? So, you have to have the boldness to say, but you're saying the right thing, and you're saying it the right thing, the right way, the right time. Then, I have to have boldness to stand out. We're in a time right now, people of God, where this is not fit-in season. This is not go to the background season. This is come on out here and let's get this work season, okay? This is not fade to black. That's not where we are. We got stuff to do, and you're going to have to stand out. Amen? Amen. And then you got to have boldness to do. Do what needs to be done. You know, it's I don't care what somebody else is doing. Do not be like that little student that you know, it's like, well, the reason that I was doing this or not doing this is because little Johnny wasn't doing that. No. I need you to do what needs to be done regardless of anybody else. Amen? Sadly, let's move forward. Many of us never get to the place of boldness because there's a few things that we allow in our life. Number one, we allow our view of self to talk us out of God's will. Hey, Ray Laquana. We allow our view of self to talk us out of God's will. Number two, we allow others' view of us to talk us out of God's will. So I can't even get to the boldness part because how I see me is stopping me from being bold. How others see me is stopping me from being bold. Here's number three, our history will talk us out of being bold. Does that make sense? Our history. This is what has happened. This is what has been said. These are the mistakes that I've made. This is what has been done to me, through me, or by me. So our view of self, others' view of us, or our history will talk us out of this spiritual boldness. All three of those things that I just gave you are actually pointing to something called our self-concept, how you see yourself. Now, here's the issue. Your self-concept, when it's negative, is fueled by man and not fueled by God. Many of us right now, you can't even do the will of God because your self-concept, how you see yourself, and therefore how you see others, is viewed by other people. It's man-made, not God-made. So we got to deal with these three things that must precede spiritual boldness. Number one. Your righteousness must precede spiritual boldness. Righteousness. Y'all write that down? Go to Proverbs 28. Righteousness. Don't be trying to be bold and you wrong. You out there just as, I'm going to stand, huh? What's the new thing they're saying, standing on business? Ain't that what they're saying? I still ain't figured out what business they standing on. I ain't got it all. It's some new thing. And this is when you know you're getting old, because I'm not really sure what business they standing on, but that's what they say. They standing on it. But some of us are trying to be bold, but you're wrong. You're just bold and wrong. And if you're, watch this. If your attempt to boldness is a precursor to the reality of righteousness in your life, you are not being spiritually bold, you're being rebellious. If the work of boldness is coming before the reality of righteousness, you're not being bold. You're being rebellious. Proverbs 28 says it like this. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing. Watch this. But the righteous are bold as a lion. Notice that. The righteous are. Not the righteous do. The righteous are. This makes boldness a character trait. But the character trait of boldness has something that comes before it. The righteous are. So in order for you to be bold, you first must be righteous. If righteousness does not precede boldness, we got a problem here. As you can see in the text, it's a necessary precursor. Watch. So if I attempt to move in boldness without the prerequisite righteousness, we're only exemplifying arrogance. I'm going to get out here and I'm going to do what I want to do. Are you right? No, but I'm still going to do it. You're arrogant. You're rebellious. And when that happens, guess what? You no longer have God with you. That's your own strength. You know, like my grandmother say, go on with your best self. Get on out there. See, if my righteousness comes before my boldness, then that means God is with me. But when I try to be bold, but I don't bring right standing, because righteousness is right standing. If I don't bring right standing with the boldness, I'm wrong. I'm arrogant. I'm forced to operate in my own strength. Now, let me take this even a step further. Righteousness is only available on the path of the Lord. I need y'all to hear me here. Because some people feel like they're right because it feels right to them. Come on, listen to me. This is important. You can feel okay with it. But if you have not crucified the flesh with its lust and its passions, you may actually be responding to something that your flesh enjoys, but God loathes. So your flesh is like, this is great. God is like, no, 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 no. See, until you've crucified the flesh, until you've crucified the flesh with its lust and its passions, you might not even be on the path of the Lord. You out there like, I'm just going to go forth. Go forth with who? Go forth in whose strength? So your righteousness must precede your boldness. Claiming that you're righteous while simultaneously rebelling against the path of the Lord is a direct contradiction of Scripture. You can't say I am righteous just because you can point to an area that's not in sin. Let's do it again. To be righteous is a state of being. Righteousness is not an activity. It's a character trait. Just like boldness should not be confined to activity. It's a character trait. Therefore, if you say, I forgave Lil Pumpkin 3 weeks ago, right, Lil Pumpkin, I forgave Lil Pumpkin 3 weeks ago, well, but you got 42 other people that you haven't forgiven, and you're mean, and you hold grudges, and you sleep around, and you're a gluttonous, and you don't keep your word, and you lie, you don't show up nowhere on time, so no, you are not righteous. You just did a righteous thing. Okay? So now, just because you can point to the righteous thing, doesn't mean you're now qualified for boldness. The righteous are as bold as a lion. So my righteousness is what qualifies or even justifies my ability to walk in boldness. Be very, very careful. I'll get to the text tonight. Be very, very careful when you go get stones for your slingshot, but you haven't been right before you swing it. Does that make sense? Careful now. Careful when you're trying to have Gideon's army, but you're not righteous. Careful when you're trying to leave your country and your kindred, but you haven't been righteous. Please understand, my righteousness is the precursor. So you jumping out there talking about, Lord, protect me. He's like, repent. Oh, come on here. Repent. So please understand, righteousness is only available on the path of the Lord. Okay, go to Psalm 23 right quick. Run there. Psalm 23. Y'all know the text. Psalm 23, 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We love that verse, don't we? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not decrease. Or the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Amen. Okay. Now, if he's your shepherd, don't go running off. Now, wait a minute. Let's pay attention. We love verse 1, but there's more. Verse 2. He makes me. I thought he was a shepherd. See, if the shepherd can't lead you, or if you're, I'll say it another way, if you're unwilling to be led, that's not your shepherd. Because there's going to be times where the shepherd says, lay down. But I want to lay down. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He makes me. Because there's another passage that says, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. See, sheep sometimes don't even know. They just be doing stuff. No, seriously, have you ever paid attention to sheep and shepherds? They just do stuff. This is why I've told you guys before. This is why when we get to he anoints my head with oil, this was very much a shepherd's type of thing. They would have understood. Because the reason that shepherds put oil on the heads of sheep was because they would just eat in one spot, eat all the way down to the ground, eat into the worms. The worms would protrude into their brain and kill them. They don't know. They're just sitting up there. So the shepherd got to say, hey, move. Come on, go to green pasture. Come on, lay down, because you're going to run off. That sheep will go into a ditch, get rescued out the ditch, and run right back in the ditch. Shepherds deal with that. So he makes me lie down. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Watch this, verse 3. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's where he's going to guide you. Look, if he is your shepherd, he's going to, he's going to lead me in a path of righteousness. It may not be a path of comfort. It might not be a path that I want, that I desire. I might not enjoy, the path. I might not. It's narrow. But he's going to lead me on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now here's, Elder Deborah, I think sometimes we actually disconnect the 23rd Psalms and don't put it together to understand the narrative. So you're leading me in a path of righteousness for your name, right? That's verse 3. Look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Wait. I thought we was on the path of righteousness. Yeah, but it goes through the valley of the shadow. The path of righteousness goes through the valley of the shadow of death. Well, can I get on the path of righteousness without going through the valley of the shadow of death? Not if that's where I want to lead you. And I don't need you to complain about it because I'm with you. Your rod and your staff. Wait. So how in the world, if I'm really in love with the Lord, I'm going on the path of righteousness. The path of righteousness is leading me through the valley of the shadow of death. And I'm sitting there getting afraid like he ain't here with me. We respond like we're alone. We respond like we're alone. Crying out to someone who says he's there. Which, watch this, inevitably means we have no idea what his presence feels like. Why would I call out to somebody standing next to me? If I'm yelling for the Lord, calling out to the Lord, but the Lord is near, I am telling the Lord, I have no idea what you're like. Because when I'm in your presence, I'm still calling for you. Which means I have not learned to practice the presence. I've only learned to practice my fears. To practice my pains. To practice my longings. When I practice the presence, it's like, there you are, Lord. I remember... I told our worship team this. I remember sitting, it was still hot outside, and I was sitting at Dorothy Lane Market, and I went in, and it is the absolute most amazing grocery store sushi ever. It's my favorite grocery store sushi. And so I was sitting outside Dorothy Lane Market eating my favorite grocery store sushi. And I was sitting there, and I had been reading Brother Lawrence's Practicing the Presence, and I'd really, you know, that, because it's a practice. And I was sitting there eating my sushi, and I began to think about the creation of God, and I looked up at the sky, and I started recalling God's creation, and I said, wow, God, I'm sitting here in your word. I'm literally sitting in your let there be. You said it, and I'm sitting in it. You holding the sky up and the ground down. And I'm sitting here feeling a breeze that you started before time. I'm worried about what again? And how can I tell the one who said, let there be, where are you? How? How do I say that? I'm looking at you. Huh? What's the text say? When I see the work of your hand, your handiwork? I'm looking at you. How can I say, God, where are you? He's like, everywhere. You prepare a table before me, verse 5. No, I'm not. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Thank you. My cup overflows. That's a blessing. Jesus. Think about that. My cup overflows. When I'm with you on the path of righteousness, going through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm operating within your anointing, and I have an overflowing cup. So if my cup is not overflowing, maybe I'm on the wrong path. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Y'all with me? So I said righteousness must precede boldness. Number two, promise must precede boldness. Don't y'all be out here trying to be bold and you ain't got no promise to tie to that. There's a promise that must precede boldness. Because our circumstances, people of God, can make boldness seem futile. How many of you have ever been to a place where you said, why am I even trying? Okay, amen. Anybody ever been there? Why am I even trying? Right? Or the circumstance in front of you seems so insurmountable that you're like, forget it, it's over. God's like, we ain't even talked. Well, how in the world did you give up before you discussed this with me? Oh, God. Think about this for a second. How in the world have you given up before we've even talked? You walked away from it. You walked away from the promise. That was promise. But God, it looked like, but it's a promise. Who cares what it looks like? That would be like, because listen, when you act like the children of Israel, you get what the children of Israel got. I felt that, God. You want to keep complaining while you're on your journey to your Canaan? You want to keep going backwards to your Egypt? I understand everybody wants to say that's the Old Testament, but many of us have an Old Testament life. See, the Bible says, yes, I hear you, God. The Bible says that the law is a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. And if you have, watch this, if you haven't come to Christ's likeness, you're still under the schoolmaster. So many of us are still, watch this, living a life under the guise of the law because you haven't come to the last Adam. I'm going to leave it be, but I hope y'all heard it. You ain't got to go through some of the stuff you go through. You're going through it because you won't come out of it. Nobody said you had to stay there. Nobody told you that. Because it doesn't start with the circumstance change. It starts with you changing. Nobody said you had to stay there. The very moment that you make a decision, you're transformed not by the changing of your job. You're transformed not by the elevation of your credit score. You're transformed not by a new relationship. You're transformed by the renovation of your mind. And once the renewing of your mind happens, transformation has already taken place even before manifestation shows up. So, see, many of us want manifestation without transformation.
So I don't want to be changed. I just want to see something different. But that's not the way this works. There must be transformation before manifestation. Your whole victory is being held up because you want victory with the same mindset. It doesn't work that way. God, I need this and I need this. God says, listen, I know what you have need of, Matthew 6. Your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. As a matter of fact, some of us should be embarrassed for telling God we need something that we actually don't need. See, when the words coming out of your mouth don't match what God knows you need, you're showing him that you're out of alignment with his promise. Why are you telling me you need something instead of being honest that you just want it? Okay. So circumstances can make boldness look futile. I can't do it, it's too big. But when there's a promise in front of the, when there's a promise in front of it, in front of that boldness, you can overcome what's in front of you. See, boldness is held up by the promise that goes before it. So you got to start saying, do I have a promise for that? Okay, I can do it then. God, I got a promise for that? Then I can do that then. But I don't care what it looks like. Do I have a promise for it? My God shall supply. Okay, so I got a promise for that. So since I got a promise for that, my needs don't stress me anymore. Come on, come on. Stop letting your needs have control over your emotions. Because if I got a promise about my needs, all I got to do is let my promise go before me. Thank you, God. My promise goes before me instead of allowing my emotions to tell me how to react. Amen. So when you start saying, this is going on, do I have a promise for that? And the promises are not based upon your history. The promises are based upon the word of God. These are where the promises are. This promise ain't got nothing to do with how you feel about yourself. No, it does not. These promises ain't got none. Don't you allow the negative self-concept that has been held up for years, some of you generations. Come on, that thing got to stop right now. I don't want to hear none of that generational curse stuff. No, the blood is bigger than all of that. The blood is bigger than what you've been through. The blood is bigger than what happened to you. You got to make a decision. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I was in study and I figured out something as we go into this Advent season. I figured out something. And I don't know why I had missed it, Kay, but I figured out something. I don't know where in the world. Theologians don't know where in the world Jesus' father was. Uh-huh. Watch it. It's about to get real in these streets. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting up there like Jesus going through all of this, going through all this ministry, people hating him and everything. Where's his dad? See his mom. Joseph, where you at? Why don't you defend your home? This your son. Where you at Cana? You ain't even. And the more I dug into it, they said, well, based upon these facts and these scriptures and everything going on, Joseph was probably gone before Jesus even started ministry. Most people believe that Jesus lost his father, his biological, well, you know, he don't have a biological father, but he lost Joseph before ministry even started. So he went through the hardest part of his life fatherless. So what's wrong with you again? And he didn't even have a rabbi. He didn't have someone that he could go to as a spiritual. Okay, y'all don't want to talk to me today. He didn't have none of that. They wouldn't let him into none of the churches, so none of the spiritual leaders was there. He didn't have anybody that he could go to. He didn't have a pastor. Come on here. And we're supposed to be full of the Holy Ghost, and we have spiritual fathers. I'm trying to figure this whole thing out, but you still want to tell me that it's because you ain't got no dad in your life? No, that's a decision. You've made a decision, and then you want everybody to bow down to the decision that you have made to stay in a place that the Holy Ghost is bigger than. That's right. That's it. I'm saying it like I'm saying. It sounds like you're not being compassionate. No, I'm pulling you out of this. I'm going to pull you out of it like a good shepherd will. I'm bringing my rod and my staff. I'm hooking you by your neck. Come out of there. Stop blaming something on somebody that you don't even know their why that translated to their what. You have no idea. You don't know why your parent was the way that they are. You didn't go through the life that they went through. So stop telling God that the reason that you're disobedient to your heavenly father is because you don't know your biological father. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. You got a heavenly father that loves you. You got breath in your body, and you got the Holy Ghost. You say you saved, sanctified, and filled. So live like that. Operate like that. Move like that. In him I live and move and have my being. Move with the power of the Holy Ghost. Speak with the power of the Holy Ghost. And do not allow the brokenness that tries to hover over you like a dark cloud of demonic activity to take you off of the path of righteousness. Now, if I would have known my father, you got a father. Glory. And your lack of submission to what's before you is nobody's fault but yours. It ain't that easy. It ain't, also ain't that hard, because I got Bible for that too. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? There's a lot of stuff too hard for me, but ain't nothing too hard for God. That's why I'm not walking in my own strength. Trust in the Lord. Yes, come on. With all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. I don't care what kind of degrees you got. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct. He'll make your path straight. But the straight path that he's going to make you is going through, however he got to take you through. Whatever it looks like. Don't you be telling God what road you want to take in your GPS, because your GPS is wrong. Let me tell you, we're going all the wrong ways. We're going to make all the wrong turns. We're going to be sitting up there just like Lot. Y'all not in the room. We're going to be just like Lot, like, ooh, it looked pretty over there. Find our tail over in Sodom. Come on, we're going to be messed up. Lord, wherever you lead me, that's where I'm going. I got to have a promise. I got to have a promise. Somebody say a promise. 1 Samuel 17. Lord have mercy. What that clock say? Oh, y'all be all right. My timer say 30 more minutes, so that's what y'all getting. 1 Samuel 17. So I got to have a promise to precede my boldness. 1 Samuel 17, verse 20. So David arose early in the morning and left the flock with a keeper and took the supplies and went as Jesse had commanded him. He came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting the war cry. Israel, verse 21, and the Philistines drew up in battle array, army against army. It's about to go down. Then David left his baggage in the care of the baggage keeper and ran to the battle line and entered in order to greet his brothers. 23, as he was talking with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath, named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines, and he spoke the same words, and David heard them. Watch it. When all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid, which means they lacked boldness. They were weak. They were weak. They're running away from Goliath. But hold on, he's big, and he got all this stuff. He's gonna kill us. David heard it, didn't hear nothing different, heard the same words. Verse 25. The men of Israel said, have you seen this man who's coming up? Surely he's coming up to defy Israel. And it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, what will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Wait a minute. What will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Hold on, hold on. You mean to tell me that David saw Goliath's presence as shining a bad light on God's people? Y'all, take away the reproach. In other words, David was like, I can't even believe y'all letting this man stand here. Listen, let me tell y'all something. To an unbeliever, every Goliath in your life looks bad about God. When we allow Goliaths to stand up in our lives and to shout and talk crazy in our lives, the Goliaths of our lives make God look bad. Because what kind of God do you have for that type of thing to stand up in your life? It's a reproach to the people of the Lord. Does this make any sense to anybody? He says, for who, verse 26, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt, talking crazy, the armies of God, lead his verse, who, uncircumcised. Now we're dealing with Israel. Circumcision was a sign of the covenant. It was a sign of promise. So David's looking at this man, and he said, he ain't got no promise on him. How in the world are y'all with a promise afraid of this guy with no promise? He ain't got no promise. I don't care how big he is. There's no promise before him. So his boldness is a lie. We would call that selling wolf tickets. Y'all not in here. You out here selling wolf tickets because you ain't got no promise behind you. How are y'all afraid? Come on. How are you afraid? You got a promise on your life. He's uncircumcised. God's not with him. God's with us, and we got something to show for it. This is how we should be as the people of God. Listen, I got something to show for it. That should have killed me, and it didn't. I should have lost my mind there, and I didn't. I wasn't supposed to make it through that, and I did. They said I was going to get fired, and I still got a job. I lost my job and paid all my bills. Everything went crazy, but I still kept going forward. It got real dark, but the light stayed right on me. Come on now. The wreck happened in front of me, but I didn't get touched. The doctor thought he saw something, but it turned out to be nothing. My kid fell down, but didn't get hurt. They came to the school, but nothing happened to my baby. They said I wasn't going to get accepted, but they made an exception because I got a promise. There's a promise on my life, and I got something to show for it. And if that's the case, you know a tree by its fruit, right? So if I got something to show for it, and Goliath show up tomorrow, oh, y'all, who is this uncircumcised? What you talking about? You think I'm about to come on? Do I need to read the resume of my God? The one who said, let there be. Do we really need to do this? The one who gives sight to the blind. The one who allows his son to walk on water. The one who's able to reach into the dirt and allow the blind to see and the lame to walk. Do we really need to do this? The one who is able to heal Jairus' daughter through somebody that they didn't even know. Do we really need to do this? The one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power which is supposed to be working in me. Who is? You better tell your Goliath. Who are you? I got a promise before me. Huh? My righteousness is preceding my boldness, but so is my promise. But some of you may be saying, well, that's the Old Testament. You know, you got to bring that to the New Testament. Okay, let's do that, because I got a promise. I got a promise. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Watch it. I got 24 more minutes. I'm having a good time. Ephesians chapter 2. Y'all ready? Look at this, verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly, come on, talk to us. Formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, talk to us, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, set them right, Paul, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Verse 12. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. 13. But now, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who, somebody see, this is good shouting stuff here. You who were formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of God. Huh? Somebody, I know verse 12 may sound a little funny to some people, but your testimony might go a little bit like this. I used to do all manner of foolishness. Come on now, some of y'all in here used to do all manner of foolishness. Used to hang with all manner of foolish people. Your testimony is that it could have got you, but come on now, but now. Huh? But now. Some of y'all don't know how you made it home some nights. Come on, but now. Some of you don't know how the thing didn't get you that got everybody else at the party. But now, you've been brought near. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I done messed around, you done brought me close. You've been brought near. The Bible doesn't say, Elder Deborah, I walked near, he brought me near. Oh, y'all now that. The Bible says in Romans 5, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. This is a mighty God that we serve that doesn't wait until I got enough strength to walk to him. He'll bring me to him. And I need you to understand that sometimes your circumstances are drawing you. Yes. Yes, because he know in our own strength, you ain't going to walk to me on your own. So I'm going to take you through a few things so that I can draw you to me. I'm going to bring you near so you can see how good I am. I'm going to bring you near so you can see how much I love you. I'm going to bring you near so you can figure out I'm better than everything you've tried. Thank you for bringing us near, Lord. Thank you for bringing me near. You could have left me out there by myself. Thank you, God, for bringing me near. Thank you, Jesus. You could have let me out there with no food and no clothes, but you brought me near. Yes, you did. You didn't treat me like other people treated me. You brought me near. You said, come on in here. Come on in here and sit down a while and allow me to spend some time with you. He loves me different than other people can love. He cares for me differently than other people can care for me. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God. Come on now. He is better than anything else you can try. He is greater than great. The Bible says that he is great. The great I am. You brought me near. He didn't have to do that. You didn't have to bring me near. You could have left me out there. You could have left me out there like everybody else did. You could have gave up on me like everybody else did. But God saw something in us that nobody else could see. And when everybody else said that they were done, he said, come here. Whoa, what a mighty God. So you mean to tell me? You mean to tell me in the face of a God like that, when God asked you to do something, you mean to tell God, you're going to say to God, maybe tomorrow? No. Oh, come on. The righteous are as bold as a lion. God, whatever you need me to do, let's get it. Whatever you need me to do, wherever you need me to go, whoever you need me to talk to, I'm going with you, God. I'm going with you, God. I don't care what this thing looked like. I'm going with you, God. I got a promise going before me. I got a promise before me. But look how big Goliath is. Look how big God is. Look how much debt we got. Look how many cattle my father got. Don't play with my God. Don't fool with my God. He's not governed by the natural. He's supernatural. He's not governed by the ordinary. He's extraordinary. He ain't governed by that. He don't care what the doctors say. He's the chief doctor. He's the chief physician. He don't care when they give up. He says, I'm just getting started. He don't care how dead it is. Even without a pulse, he's still, hey, even without a pulse, he's still God. When that thing gets dead and everybody walks away from it, my God will say, come forth, Lazarus. Some of you right now in this room, he's calling out to your Lazarus. Get up out of there. I don't care how long it's been dead. I don't care how long your dream has been dead. Huh? He just called out to Lazarus. You better be bold. You better be bold. You better be bold. Because here's the thing about Lazarus coming forth. Oh, Christina. Here's the thing about Lazarus coming forth. Lazarus didn't move his own stone. Don't nobody want to talk to me tonight. When God tell you, come on now, they tried it. They tried it. Jesus said, move that stone. They was like, but hold on, he gonna stink. See, they didn't have enough boldness to do it. A word, a promise, move the stone. See, you're not gonna move God is not gonna move the stone for you. You're gonna have to move it. Trusting that what's behind the stone. Yeah, I said, you gotta move it. Some of y'all need to move the stone tonight. Just go ahead and drag that stone out. Trust me. Trust me. What you left for dead behind that stone is living and well. Did y'all hear what I said? I'll say it again. What you left for dead behind that stone is living and well. You sitting up there giving up on stuff just because you ain't got no pulse from it in a long time. Don't worry. He just spoke to that Lazarus, and what you left for dead, go ahead and move the stone out. It stinks. I don't want to have that conversation. No. Move the stone. Or go ahead and admit that you're not righteous or bold as a lion. Go ahead and admit you don't believe the promise that is supposed to precede the boldness. Here's our last one, and I'm done. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on now. Come on. I'm not going another day. Come on now. Some of y'all got to say, Lord, you know what? My bad. Yeah, my bad. My bad. I was sitting there today. I was talking to Daphne today, and God dropped something in my spirit. I didn't even say it to Daphne. He dropped it in my spirit. He dropped it in my spirit. I've been thinking about glory. I was going to say this later, but I need to say it now. I was thinking about it. He dropped it in my spirit. I didn't say it to Daphne. She's probably listening online. But let me tell y'all something. 2023 for some of us has been quite the year. Lord have mercy. What in the world is going on? I mean, come on. 2023 has felt like something. And I'm not trying to get deep, y'all. I'm not trying to get spooky. I'm really not. I'm not trying to make y'all feel no type of way. But last time I checked, 4 + 3 = 7. 2023. That's 7. Yeah, 2, 2, 3. That's 7. Am I right? Is my math correct? Okay. So 7 completes the cycle. That's all right. Okay. But last I checked, 8 is a new beginning. Y'all know that. That's a 2, 2, 4. Yeah, 2, 2. I'm not trying to get funny because 2 is agreement, 2 is agreement, 4 is new creation. That's a new cycle. That's a new beginning. Are y'all in this room? So watch this. Here is the reality. For some of you, you needed 2023 to go ahead and complete some things. Last time to cry about that, last time to argue over that, last time to be bothered with that, last time to deal with that, last time to put up with that. Okay, but your 8 is right around the corner. Yeah, I'm going to leave it be, but you receive that if you want to, and if y'all think I'm crazy, go ahead and think I'm crazy, but there's a few 8s walking around in here that's going to go ahead. That's all right. You can keep being all 7s if you want to, but there's a few 8s. Y'all had to catch that when you said you can stop being all 7s if you want to. I'm glad that there's some stuff coming to a close. I'm going to leave that alone. Last time I'm going to deal with some of that. Last time I'm dealing with that emotional instability. Last time I'm going to deal with this debt problem. Last time I'm going to deal with this type of sickness. Last time I'm going to deal with that type of fear. Last time I'm going to deal with that type of doubt. Last time I'm going to deal with this unbelief. I bet you I'm about to have an 8. Yes, I am. I'm about to have a new beginning of joy, a new beginning of peace. Yes, I am. It's all right. Y'all ain't got to claim it, but for the few of us in here who's about to done with our cycle over, new beginnings. This is why Advent is important. I'm preparing for the arrival of my 8. Let me go ahead and get myself together. Because when the new beginning get here, let me make sure that none of my old stuff is on its shelf. Let me go ahead and dust off the spot for it. Y'all, let me go ahead. How in the world you know you got something coming, but you ain't got no place for it to go? I'm preparing for the arrival. I'm not going to sit up there. Come on now. God, what all you got for me? Do I need to move this? Do I need to throw this away? Do I need to donate it? Do I just, whatever you need me to do. And I'm just going to leave the space empty until my new thing get here. Hallelujah. Go ahead. They're going to think you're crazy. What you doing? I'm making room. Making room. It's really not spooky. It's really not. My wife went to the grocery store yesterday. She said, hold on, I'm about to go to the grocery store. Let me clean out the refrigerator. Because why in the world would I go make an investment in my new nutrition when the stuff that is no longer serving me is still taking up its space? Let me go ahead and get all of this out. See what I have allowed to sit in here too long, what has spoiled because it was out of my view. Yeah. Yeah. Huh? What has spoiled because it is out of my view. What's taking up space. Huh? What's taking up space? Why am I keeping this orange juice container in here when it's only a swallow of orange juice in here? It's not even worth this whole thing being in here. So I got to get rid of all of that. I got to get rid of all of that. Now, here's the problem, y'all. If you clean the refrigerator before you go to the grocery store, there is a moment of time where it looks like you lack. I said, if you clean the refrigerator before you go to the grocery store, there is a moment of time where it looks like, where the perception is that you lack, but you lack no thing. The truth is, you just haven't restocked yet. Don't you worry. Don't you worry, I had to get everything out of here, and in just a second, it's about to be full again. It's going to be full with freshness. It's going to be full with something that is going to nurture me. It's going to be full with good things. Come on now. The Bible says, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not his benefits. A little while, a few verses after that, it says, he satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth can be renewed like the eagles. Woo! That's that Psalm 103 for you, boy. It'll get you blessed. Whew. Write this down. Oh, Lord. Oh, God, man. The will of God, this is number three. The will of God must precede boldness. I said the will of God. So number one, Jesus Christ, righteousness must precede boldness. Number two, promise must precede boldness. Number three, the will of God must precede boldness. The will. Don't you be trying to be bold and you out the will. Don't you be trying to, No, because listen, this is not the year where you got to show nobody up. No. You got to walk in the will of God. You let God be God, and you just do what you're supposed to do. Because when God calls you to something, you move with boldness according to his will and not according to your emotions. You move with boldness according to his will and not according to getting your lick in. Many of y'all spent all 2023 trying to get your lick back. I'm going to show them. God is like, no. See, this is the problem. When you want to show them, you're stepping into my seat. I'm the shower. Y'all missed that. You don't show them because, watch this, if they see you, you become the one. I don't want them to see you. I want them to see me. God is like, wait a minute. Why do you want to be the star? I'm the star. Huh? Don't go through life wanting people to see you. Go through life wanting people to see him. Huh? Now watch this. Let me show you this. Let me show y'all this. And how prayerfully y'all get it. I'm almost out of time. Matthew 4. Watch this. Watch this. Matthew 4, 18. As Jesus was walking by the sea, he saw two brothers. Simon, who's called Peter. Andrew, his brother. Casting a net into the sea, for they're fishermen. He said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. I'm going to teach this passage later on this week. I got to do a virtual something. So follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Watch. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Do y'all see that? Okay, this is the beginning of the call. This is Simon, as we know, it's Peter and Andrew, his brother. This is the beginning of their call. Are y'all walking with me? They at work. He says, follow me. And they left their nets right there. Y'all with me? Why did I leave my net? Because you said so. My boldness is based upon alignment with your instruction. Huh? Yes. Now watch. Now I get to John 21. Watch this. Verse 1. after these things, now I'm at the end of John. Peter done been acting a fool for a good time now. My man Pete couldn't get himself together most of the time. Are y'all in the room? Y'all know Pete don't always do right. Pete would just be acting so crazy. And I'm literally at the end. Pete done denied him and all kind of foolishness. Pete done about drowned. Huh? Pete done about drowned. Peter done said he don't know the man. We at the end. Now I just read you the beginning of the journey when he called him and they left their nets, right? After these things, verse 1, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he manifested himself in this way. Simon Peter, same guy, right? And Thomas, called Didymus. So I got, Thomas done put his hand in his side, like, let me see if this is you. And Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, two others of his disciples were together. Cool. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. That's what Simon Peter, now wait a minute now. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. But the will of God was for you to leave that net and become a fisher of men. Now Jesus is gone and you done went back to what you should have left. Don't nobody want. When I called you, I told you to leave that net alone. And there was a different type of fishing you were supposed to do. Now that I'm gone, you want to go back to doing what you left. As if the call of God is nullified because circumstances seem to have changed. Whew. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we will also come with you. Stop. Now, he done already gave Peter the keys to the kingdom and said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Can I have a few more minutes? Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So now Peter is about to abandon his call, go back to what he should have left. And now because the one in charge does it, the rest of the disciples decided, we ain't going to fish for men either. We're going to roll with you, Pete. See, watch this. When you got a call on your life, recognize that what you're called to also is an influence to others. And if you manipulate or use the call on your life to lead others astray, woe unto you, teachers, James 3:1. Okay? So they went out and they got into the boat. That night, they call nothing. Of course they didn't. Because you're not supposed to be out here. You're not supposed to be out here. You're supposed to be fishing for men. You ain't supposed to be out here. When the day was now breaking, Jesus on the beach, yet the disciples didn't know it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, children, you do not have any fish, do you? Boy, that Jesus. Woo! Listen, that's funny. Isn't that funny? that ain't working out for you, is it? It's not. That ain't working out. Ain't catching none. That ain't going the way you thought it was gonna go. That, right. That little stint of disobedience ain't working out for you. How's that going for you? Children, you don't have any fish, do you? They answered him, no. Verse 6. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat. You'll find the catch. So they cast, which ain't making no sense. This don't make no sense. So they cast, and they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. All of a sudden, verse 7, old Pete, therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, that's John, he says, it's the Lord. That got to be, because this ain't making no sense. We literally took the net from right here to right here. And then ain't no way in the world that we shouldn't have been able to catch nothing over here. And now I can't haul the net in over here. So it's breaking on the other side. He said, that got to be the Lord. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, watch this. He put his outer garment on, for he was stripped down for work. So this means that Peter was in the boat, stripped down, not to do the work, but to do another type of work. Y'all miss. He's literally taken on the persona that the Lord told him to walk away from. And literally, he was like, is that you? And he says, now I got to put on my garment, a garment that indicates that I'm ready to follow again. Y'all. A garment that says that this work is over. This garment is going to allow me to follow you again. And he threw himself in the sea. I wish that somewhere in the text it would tell me how far away this was. I don't know. But can y'all imagine this scene? This scene is crazy to me. He in the boat, and my man just put his follow garment on and just hoisted himself in the water. Just jump in. And the Bible does, and I love the fact that the Bible doesn't say that he jumped in the water. Like, that's control. They don't say that. Say he threw himself. I can just imagine Pete like Geronimo. Like, I'm coming, Jesus. Coming. Now, I need you to understand something. Here's the beauty. He left this net, too. The boldness it took to put on his outer garment and to just hoist himself into the water, leaving the net of a lucrative catch. Y'all. In other words, at the end of John's gospel, we see Peter going back to his original call. I left that net, I'm leaving this one too. I'm following you, Jesus. That's boldness. I'll leave it. Because some of us would have been like, give me a minute. Let me get these fish in. Right? Not him. He was like, y'all deal with this boat on your... I don't know where Thomas went. I don't know where James and John are. All I know that Pete was like Geronimo. Like, just hoist himself in the water. That's boldness. This is boldness. Like, I'm just about to jump in. And some of you right now, what is required of you is going to require you to get enough boldness to jump. Sitting up there, you got your toe in. Your toe been in the water since 2022. You took your shoe off in 2020. Didn't even put your big toe in until 22. We at the end of 2023. It's just now got to your ankle. Just now get to your ankle. You talking about, hold on, let me run inside right quick. You better hoist yourself in the water of your destiny. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I honor you and give you praise. You're good, you're kind, you're merciful. God, give us boldness. Help us get these precursors right. The righteousness, your will, Lord, and the promise. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.